So we're going to talk about living in the full experience of your blessings in Christ, part two. And why we want to dwell on these things is because it is so key, it's so important for you to know these things so that you don't walk under a curse. There are a couple of things that have brought Christians walking under a curse. We're just dealing with one of them. The other one, I'm just trusting the Lord when we have a lot of your children back. Because now people have traveled, so that one I put on hold until people are back. Because we need to teach that one and get it taken care of. But we're just dealing with one right now. Why many Christians labor on their cause and nothing is working. It's all work, labor, it's all always sweating. And not much is shown for their Christianity. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, in how many things? In how many things, church? Be careful for what? Nothing. Be careful for what? Nothing. But in everything, by prayer, murmuring, and complaining, and being anxious. Is my Bible different? In everything, by what? Prayer. And what? And what follows it? That's how prayer goes. You pray, supplication is a sincere seeking. It's not a casual thing. It's a sincere seeking with all your heart. It's called supplication. With thanksgiving. Prayer ends with thanksgiving. If the Lord will lead us, we'll teach about prayer. So you stop all this laboring and calling it prayer. Prayer is flourishing. Prayer is conversation. Prayer is so wonderful. You can be on it the rest of your day and not even feel it. So you say with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what happens? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall now do what? Keep and move beyond that place where you are. I mean, 7. And the peace of God, which passeth, which means it's not a peace that is determined by what you are seeing. That peace doesn't come because things are better. Things may not look better. You don't define it from your understanding. You can't pinpoint why you have that peace. That peace is not coming because, you know, you have a promise from somebody. The peace is coming in spite of the fact that things are going south. It defies understanding. It's an assurance of the Spirit of God that comes only to those who are not anxious. Those who are not what? Anxious. Those who follow the pattern given. Be anxious for nothing. So when you lack that peace, it's because you are anxious. It's because you are worrying yourself to kill yourself. Anxiety is destroying many people in this country. I was told, I don't know, it's a long time I stopped pharmacy practice, but I was told that most of the drugs that they make money out of is money, the drugs that deal with the anxiety. You should know now you're in the profession. The drug that deals with what? Anxiety and worry. And many people are dying because of it. Many are leaving before their time just because of anxiety and worry. And we worry, we pretend we don't worry, we worry, we're in denial, we say I'm in faith when you are worrying yourself to death. My wife said to me, said, every time you put your head on the pillow, you sleep. I say, if I don't sleep, God is awake. Why should I not sleep? The God that watches me does not sleep and slumber. So why should I keep? If I'm awake, am I going to help him? So I better sleep. Because he giveth his beloved. That's what he gives me, sleep. Awake belongs to him. Sleep belongs to me. So I put my head in the pillow. I'm gone. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, she knows. He said, my husband, once you put your head there, I said, what am I awake for? It's time to sleep now. So worry is a terrible, terrible disease. It robs you of all divine blessings. It stops the power of God in its trap, like you turn off a tap. It does that. And worry shows in what you say. Worry is sin. It's a terrible one. So there are two ways you can live your life. Either you live, and please, I want you to listen to me, because many Christians are laboring on their cause. Their Christianity is not producing much. They don't see nothing in terms of healing, provisions, miracles. They don't have testimony January to December. No testimony. Because God, they don't see the hand of God. So there are two ways you live your life. You either live under the blessing or under a curse. You cannot both. Even though you are blessed, you can live under a curse. And it's your choice. Even though you are blessed in Christ, you can live under a curse. And it's your choice. But you can't live on both of them. You either live under the canopy of the blessing or outside the canopy of the blessing. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you will. So it's your choice where you live. Somebody says to Israel, he said, choose you this day who will serve. He says, as for me and my family, we have made up our mind. So you cannot live under the blessing and under curse at the same time. Now, I want to illustrate this. If I want to bless Chibos, Doc, can you come up here? Just come up here. I want to punish you for taking my daughter out without telling me. If I want to bless this man here, who is going to provide the blessing? Answer me now. Some people are not sure. If I want to bless him, who is providing the blessing? Is he the one providing it? No. If I'm the one providing the blessing, so the blessing depends entirely on what I do and not on what he does. If he wants to remain blessed, he would look up to me because I'm the one that is providing the blessing. But he thinks the blessing is not coming. Then he starts doing something to produce it. Can he produce it? Come on, church. I'm asking you, if he's doing something to produce it and then I stop, he will leave under the curse, not under my blessing. Because he stopped me. Because the blessing is what I do for him. The blessing is what I give him. The blessing is all from me. But he doesn't understand that the blessing is all from me. So he begins to do his stuff. And the devil sneaks up and convinces him you can produce it. And then he looks around because he doesn't see much. So he starts worrying. And worrying means planning what to do. And when you don't see what to do, you become anxious. And when he starts doing this, this is the arm that he raises up. It's called the arm of what? Flesh. I want you to understand this very well. This arm is what you do. This arm is what God does. I want to illustrate this thing very well. This is what the arm of the flesh. It will never produce the blessing because it's not from man. No. And the Bible says the arm of the flesh will fail you. Those that depend on it, they will perish. This thing will profit you nothing. But this is where people live. This is what the law puts you to. The law said, use this. The law was given, so you try with this. Now, Moses put his arm up, was paining him. He needed people to come and hold him. It's a waste of time. Put it down. Now I'm the one to bless him. And I come. And I bring the blessings. All he does is what? Bring the blessings. All he does is what? I bring the blessings. All he does is what? So whose arm is moving? That's the arm of the Lord. From creation. Thank you, my brother. From creation. From Adam. God knew that man cannot produce the blessing. He didn't create you to be God, to act. He created you to have his image, to depend on him. Because he is the source of all things. The Bible says all good and perfect things come from who? Not from you, not from me. They don't come from us. So because we don't understand these things, we think that we can produce them. And we try to struggle to produce them. We destroy things because the arm of the flesh does not produce the work of God. Does not produce it. Does not produce the blessings. And Paul said that God is not served with the arm of man. You know, when Solomon said, I will build you a temple, God asked him, he said, what temple will you build me, Solomon? My arm. Everybody say God's arm. Come on. Say it louder. Come on. He said, my arm has done these things, Solomon, not you. You can't produce my blessing. I am the one that gives the blessing. I'm the one that produces the blessing. You don't, Solomon. So when a man lives under the work of his, the arm of the flesh, he lives under a curse. You can pray under the arm of the flesh. You can come to church under the arm of the flesh. You can do all these things under the arm of the flesh. Produce nothing. Look at how Jesus Christ lived his life. Luke 11:20. Luke 11:20. But if I with the finger of God, with what? Finger of God. Cast out what? Demons. He says, no doubt the kingdom of God is what? Come here. The blessing of God is descended here. Because this is the finger. This is God's finger. This is God's arm. This is God's hand that produces the deliverance, you see. This is the arm of the Lord. The finger of God. He said, the kingdom is here. The blessing is here. Church, can I remind you what the Lord told me? He said, the fullness of my power is on earth. He said, the fullness of my divine kingdom is here on earth right now. My arm is here on earth. Christ, the arm of the Lord. Who shall believe our report? So that the arm, everybody say the arm of the Lord will now be revealed in his life. People see the arm of the Lord, see the blessing, they see the kingdom in manifestation, in expression, in demonstration. We are supposed to be witnesses of that kingdom. Not churchgoers. That's why Jesus said, wait, when the Spirit comes upon you, when the power of God comes upon you, you become witnesses of me. People will see the work of the Spirit, the arm of the Lord at work in your life. And then in John 5:19, Jesus answered unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do what? Nothing of himself. It doesn't even depend on his arm. Come on, this is Jesus. He said, I don't depend on my arm. I can do nothing with this arm. And he said, verily, verily, repeatedly, for emphasis sake. Can you tell your neighbor you can do nothing on yourself? Tell him one more time. Keep. Say it louder. Come on, keep that your arm down. Verily, 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 I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do is the arm of my Father all the time. For what things soever he doeth, this also the Son likewise now, the Son is doing because the Father uses the Son. The Father's arm is what is moving the Son. He said, the words I speak to you are not even my own. It's the Father's word. Because it's his word that brings the blessing. It's his arm that brings the blessing. It's what it does that manifests the blessing of heaven, not what you do. John 14:10. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of what? Myself. Because my words, no, it's his word that brings the blessing. Then he says, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth what? Come on, let me hear you. Who doeth what? The works. He's the one working. That's the way the Lord lived his life. He lived under divine blessing all the time. And his life was an expression of God, because it was God doing all of that, all of that, all of that. That was God doing. So that was an expression of divine glory and presence and power. His life was simple. And the Bible says he was the expression of the fullness of God, because the word was God speaking, the hand was God doing, this was God doing, that was God at work. So that was a revelation of fullness of God. That was his life. And that's what we should be. We should be a revelation of fullness of Christ. That's Christ talking. That's Christ doing. That's Christ doing. That's what Christ did. That's what Christ is doing. Paul said, I dare not talk of anything except what the Lord has done through me. Through me. I can't talk of anything else. I don't boast in nothing except in what the Lord has done. And it is that arm of the Lord that will overcome. Oh. It's the arm of the Lord that will always what? The Bible says, what thing soever is born of God, overcometh. If it is God, if it is from God, if it's God's arm, it will overcome this world. And that's why he tells us, he said, except the Lord builds. Those who are building, look at Acts 5:38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them what? Alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, remember the arm of the flesh I told you. If this counsel or this your struggle or this your labor or this your sleepless night or this your plan or this your wisdom, all this thing you are doing, that you won't sleep, you won't rest, because the peace of God, the arm of the Lord, is not producing peace in you. You will sleep, you're planning all these things. He says, if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to nothing. It's curse. It's a curse. It's not a blessing. And I'm telling you, many live under it. Struggling. Trying this. Try that. They fast 40 days. They do 80 days. They look for lay hands on me, do that on me. Who sent you? Who told you? Where is it coming from? Every religious thing is not from God. Look, I was preaching to the Portuguese yesterday. Man, I feel like going back there because they were really so responsive. They were so excited. And I said to them, you don't need religion. God did not send religion. For unto us a religion was born. Huh? For unto us a religion was born. Unto us a ritual was given. Unto us a son was given. I said, that's all you need. You don't need religion. You don't need all of that. No, that's the arm of the Lord. Christ, the arm of the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. And that's why we fail, and we're always fighting the devil, because the arm that's producing this is not God. Remember, the Bible says that every tree not planted by my Father shall be what? Uprooted. So why plant? When you know it will come to nothing, it's going to be uprooted. So, doctor, can you come back up here again? So, here is Doc. Again, does it produce the blessing? Only three people know what I'm talking. Does it produce it? So who produces it? If God is producing it, what did he do to make God produce it? So God created man to live under grace from the first day. Grace is not a new thing. From the first day of creation, divine plan is that he will be the source and he will be the receiver. Close. His love, and this receives his love. Because if you love, you must have object that receives your love. So, from the first day God created Adam, his plan was for Adam to depend on his arms. What he has done, what he has produced, what he has created. And all that Adam needed to do was to come and receive everything God has what? Prepared for him. Thank you. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. The heavens and the earth were what? Finished. Am I the only one reading? Thus the heavens and the earth were what? Finished. And all the hosts of them. Finished. Let me interject something here before we continue. I had a story that will tell you that the works are finished. All this worrying is waste of time. The works are what? Finished. I had a story. There's a pastor that told this story about one of his members that came to him. He says he's a very faithful brother, and they wanted to start a printing business. Again, the Lord says, I want to do this. So he said, okay, if you want to do that, let me start this printing business. Again, it's not of men. So he bought things, but he needed $300,000 to now buy computers. He didn't have it. So he went to his pastor and said, Pastor, this is where I am in this project. I need 300 what? Is it too heavy for you to pronounce? He needs how much? Did you pronounce it too? 300,000. Have you ever seen 20,000? I pronounced. He needed how much? Are you afraid of it? He needed how much? And the pastor said, okay. He said, brother, let's pray. He said, no, pastor, you pray. He said, when you pray, God will send it. And the pastor said, I was trying to talk to him. I was out of my office. He said, I'm coming back Monday for the money. I said, I'm not a bank. The brother said, if you ask, God will provide it. I'm coming back on Monday. Read story. What I'm interjecting here is that it will illustrate the story further. Now, the pastor said, God, I'm in trouble. This, my brother, has left this thing now for me. He said, Lord, this is Friday, and I don't have money, not to talk of 300,000. He said, Lord, please, you need to provide how much? Before Monday. He said he was praying, and then on Saturday, a sister visited him and told the secretary I wanted to see him. And he said to the secretary, tell her that I'm in prayer, please, that God has to answer me. Listen to this, brother. Learn something. He said, and the sister said, he said, tell pastor that I've been wanting to see him for about 10 years now or something. You know, finally, he said, okay, let her come. I give her only 5 minutes. How many minutes? Just 5 minutes. Let her finish because 300,000, God has to. Not naira, dollar. Want to reduce it. And then the sister came and greeted him and said, "Pastor, I have something I want to ask you." He said, "What?" He said, "I have money I've been saving since 10 years ago. The Lord told me to be putting away this money. Since 10 years. Since when?" The work was finished. And they said, "How much is it?" And I said, "It's 300,000. He said, "And why I came to you is for you to help me and find out what God wants me to do." He said, "I know. Give me the money right now. I know what God wants to do." 10 years ago, God knew that he was going to ask this brother to do this, and he will need this. And God started putting it away 10 years before the time. Why are you worrying? Why won't you sleep? God started putting it away, and at the fullness of time, it was complete. And he said, the thing that baffled him was that the woman he used was not even a millionaire, was not even a rich. It was difficult for her to put it away, but God said, "You do that." He said, "I have millionaires in my church. Now who could write that check?" Why did God jump all of them? Why did God use an unexpected person? It boils down to God knows our hearts. He knows who we yield to. 10 years before the need came, God had been preparing for it. The arm of the Lord. Everybody say the arm of the Lord. Come on, say it louder. The arm of the Lord. Are you following me? Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Where were? Thus the heavens and the earth were what? So everything you need for life and godliness has been what? Finished. Finished. Everybody that God will use in your life, he sorted them out. Everything is ready. Finished. And the host of them, let's continue. And on the seventh day, God what? Because God has provided everything that Adam needed, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God did what? Blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that on it he had rested from all his work which God did created and made. So that seventh day, I want you to listen to this. After God created Adam and Eve, what was the first day of their life? That seventh day. Was it not the first day of their own life? They were created on the sixth. Am I right? On the sixth day. So they woke up. Seventh day was a new day now. Come on, church. What were they supposed to be doing? Go to work. Huh? Tell me now, what were they supposed to be doing? Just rest. Why? God has finished everything. I want you to listen to me. And God blessed that day. It's a mystery that God put his blessing on a day. He didn't put it on the other days. On the seventh day, he blessed it. He said, "You want to live in this blessing? You come into this rest of the seventh day. If you want to live in the seventh day blessing, the seventh day blessing is the day of grace, where you come to enjoy the labor of God." Is anybody following me? God blessed that day. And that was the first day that Adam lived. And every other day that Adam lived, he lived in that rest of God. And God said, all this my creation, Adam, is for you. This is for food. This is for this. Give them names, authority, habit. It's all yours. Somebody shout hallelujah. Talk of being blessed. Who provided all of that? The arm of the Lord. Talk of being rich. The man owned the whole earth and his wife. And so, Adam, as long as he was under that grace, grace is a place of rest where you depend on what the arm of the Lord has supplied. It's a place of blessing. As long as you walk in that grace, that walking in that grace is called walking in the Spirit for us too. It's called walking in faith, for the just shall live by his faith. You walk under the blessings of God, under what his arm produces. But the devil, being a very terrible creature, showed up and said to them, you don't have to walk under this thing. You can do something and be like this God. You can solve your problems. Was there any problem to be solved? No. So why did they wake up and decide we can sort ourselves out? It is called deceit. A good salesman will make you buy what you don't want. Has it happened to you? They will make you, convince you to buy what you don't even need. And the worst thing is they will make you buy what you don't like so badly that when you see it, you regret you bought it. But they talked you into it. Can I hear amen? One of the men that God used to bring me up as a Christian said that his brother got a job as a salesman. And the brother was a dropout. Didn't go to school, didn't go to college. I've never read about salesmanship. And they gave him the job to be a salesman for a vehicle. And then the big guys of the vehicle came and said, why did you employ this school dropout to be a salesman? Then you left all these people with degrees that this salesmanship. And he said, the manager said, he talked me into hiring him. He said, the man came here and convinced me that I need him. He said, if you convince me I need him, then he can sell anything. He said he didn't have the resume. We were not going to. Then he convinced us to hire him. We walked. All of us at the interview panel. The man talked us into hiring him. So we hired him. And listen to this. That man went on and became the best salesman that company had. He sold more cars than all the other reps put together. And they wanted to make him the vice president of the company. Because he was making more money than the president. Selling cars. He had this ability to make you buy what you don't want. The devil does the same. He will convince you to buy what will kill you. Confession. So he came to them and said, look, hey, Adam and Eve, you can be like God. Just decide what is good for you and what is bad for you. Take over your life and run it. And the minute they do that, I told you last Sunday, God kicked them out. Say, now you take care of your life. That's what happens to Christians when the devil also convinces them that God is slow, God is not fast, God doesn't know what he's doing, what is the thing he provided for you. You can make your own plans. You live on their course. Kick you out of that blessing. Can I hear amen? And it's easy to do. Very easy, because there are ways that are right in the eyes of me. But the end thereof is what? He will push you into that route. Push you into that route, because he knows this would lead you to destruction. But it's right in your own eyes. But you are living on their course, because that's not the arm of the Lord. If this counsel be of men, it will come to zero. He will push you into that counsel that is of men and convince you it's God. Philippians 3:3. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in. That's how to walk in the Spirit. You don't rely on the arm of the flesh, on the wisdom from men. You rely on what Christ has done. So you walk by your Spirit, not by your flesh. And as long as you walk by that Spirit, the Bible says you are guaranteed all the blessings of God. They will walk, they will overtake you, they will manifest in your lives. And then Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 told us this story. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Why didn't it profit them? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, for we which have believed do enter into what? Into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He said, if you don't enter into the rest of faith and rely on the work he has finished, you will not smell it. Because I swore in my wrath. So it's a choice to walk under the blessing or walk under the curse. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that entereth into his rest, he also has ceased from what? Am I reading alone? For he that is entered into his rest, he also has what? Cease from his works as God did when? From the first day. First day. Like he did the first day. Like Adam came to enjoy. He said, that's the same thing that God wants us to do in the New Testament. And have we not heard it also? It is finished. God says, I finished it then. Jesus came back and announced it again. It is what? Finished. And he created us in Christ and told us to enter into the rest. When you were created and born again, the first day of your existence is a day of rest. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. When you were created and born again, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are what? And then I will give you the first day is rest. Every day, rest. Cease from your labor and live under the canopy of my grace. Somebody shout hallelujah. So the only labor we have, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Let any man fall after the same example of unbelief. He said we should try to remain in that rest. Why? The serpent will fight you. He will fight you here. Look at Genesis 3. Let's read Genesis 3 from verse 1. Am I communicating sufficient? Genesis 3 from verse 1. Now, okay, for instance now. Did you ever know your wife was in Gambia? The work was finished. So all you needed to do was rest and trust him. Because he will reveal it. Jesus said, my father will reveal to me the works that he does. He will reveal to you the work that he has done on your behalf. He will reveal it to you. This is what I've done on your behalf. When I went to the university, God is amazing. I got into pharmacy school. It was a time when to get into school was tough. 3,600 people were vying for 36 places in the pharmacy school. We were 3,600. And by the grace of God, I got in. At that time, if you had a degree from America, nobody would give you a job in Nigeria. Did you know there was a time it was like that? Am I telling lies? If you came from America to Nigeria with an American degree, people will laugh at you on the street. Nobody will give you a job. Prove me wrong. Am I telling lies? It happened in Nigeria. They looked at anything from America, nobody will give you a job. In fact, at that time, if they say you went to America, we'll be laughing. We say these are dollars. They don't know anything. If you came from America at that time, we'll look down on you. We say you don't, if you sabi, come and take exam with us. Come and fight for 36 places out of 3,600. We felt that people who went to America were a dollar was 50 kobo. Naira was convertible currency. You didn't need to go to change anything. I bought things in Mother Care for Kenichuku with Naira. Am I telling lies? Real story. Real story. The universities were excellent. We ate chicken, we ate eggs, we ate everything. They will make your room for you. And the government will give you bursary to pay your fees, 500 naira a year. About that time, your parents have paid. So when the bursary comes, it goes to your pocket. Huh? Right? Uh-huh. I've forgotten where I was going with this story. Let me ask these younger ones. They don't. What did I say? Yeah. So I was in pharmacy school. And I had admission to do pharmacy University of Ahmadu Bello University. It was 3 years they offered me. But University of Nigeria started what they are doing now. You see all this doctor of pharmacy they are giving, that's what I studied. I did 5 years. And I did thesis, I did every research, I did everything. I wrote my thesis, I still have it. I presented it to faculty, everything. I did defense of my thesis. In fact, Alexandria University was to give me a master's degree on it. So they said, this is master's degree then. That's the number of credit loads I carried would give me the doctor of pharmacy in America today. So, but I didn't know something, listen to me, that my wife was at Nsukka. So when I said to my mom that I wanted to go and do pharmacy, ABU teaching hospital, only 3 years, my mother said, I will die for you. He said, if you go there, they can kill my son. You are not going. If you like, stay 10 years here. I want to be seeing you at Nsukka coming back here. He said, Emmanuel, he said, you kill me. I stayed back. I didn't know that my wife was there. If I had gone to ABU, I would have missed her. So that God has prepared the table before you in the presence of your enemies. All you need to do is to come and eat it. If the devil had pushed me out of that place, out of wanting to take care of my own life, make it better for me, I wouldn't know that there was a jewel that God had prepared for me who will be with me in ministry today and be able to serve with passion. I wouldn't know. I would have calculated 3 years. But I want to ask you, where is that pharmacy? 3 years or five? But that time, it was wise. 3 years, we cut 2 years off. But God being God. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. The arm of the Lord. That's what we're singing. He said his love will pursue you everywhere. The love will pursue me. I said, that man is not going there. He's not going there. He's not going there. He's not going there. I have somebody for him right here that will serve my purpose in the years to come. I would have chosen by sight. Because I was so hot when I was, man. I was really so hot, I'm telling you. Whoa, 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 whoa. Man, I'm telling you, I was so hot, man. Yeah, yeah, you don't even begin to talk about that. Oh, are you kidding me? Whoa, whoa, whoa. I had cats coming to me, this carton. Man, the guy is awesome, man. Are you kidding? I'm not joking. Even my classmates were after me. They were doing everything. But one thing happened that by nature, I wasn't really interested. Because I was brought up a loner. I was the only boy. Strongly protected by a mother who was very tough. She would carry her car and come and pick me from the door of the hostel back to the house after during holiday. You are going nowhere. I never went on holidays. I didn't know none of this. I grew up a loner. So I had no interest in all of them. In fact, I was afraid of them because I lived in a different world. All we were doing was noise making. That's my friend. We grew up together. Noise making, whoa, all over town. I was all. But God used that to protect me. Otherwise, I would have had so many children all over. Praise the Lord. When I went to marry my wife, I was so crude that it turned her off. I said, well, I want to marry you. So he said later, he said to me, is that how they propose? Just come and say, I want to marry you. I said, do you think I'm a veteran? I'm not a veteran. I've not been doing this. I don't know. I've never chased a woman all my life. I don't know how to chase. So I told you what I wanted. And instead of winning, the thing almost made me lose. But the arm of the Lord. You know why I'm telling this story? God knows where he has prepared the things for you. You have no idea. 300,000, he has started preparing 10 years ahead of time. So why do you allow the devil to push you away into worry, into anxiety, into all this? What do you know about today? What do you know about tomorrow? What do you understand about your life? If anybody is understanding, shout hallelujah. So let's read Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1. See what the serpent did. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, her God said, did God say, be anxious for nothing? Don't you see how things are now? Her God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die, which means you are separated from the blessing. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die now, for God knows that the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be, you walk in your wisdom. You have wisdom, you know what to do. How can pastor tell you what to do? Who is he? What does he know? All the things they are preaching to you is American doctrine. Don't listen to them. Yep. You see your eyes? Yes. Your eyes shall be open. And you shall be as who? Come on. And you shall be as who? And you shall be as who? God's knowing good and evil. You can make up your mind, my friend. This is America. You are matured enough. You can decide it. Don't worry, this is they teach you. You must make ends meet, though. Don't worry about the Bible study and others that are telling you what you don't need it. No, you don't need it. I'm telling you what you need. Verse 6. And the woman saw that the tree was what? Yeah, you see that advice is good now, good for food. And that it was pleasant to the eye and the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her and did eat. And the eyes of them were what? The first thing they saw was shame. Remember, they were naked and not ashamed. The first thing they saw was shame. The glory of God covered them before. Now they're out of that glory. They're out of the grace. They're out of the arm of the Lord. And all that is remaining where they have put themselves is shame. Verse 7. And the eyes of them were what? And they knew they were. And look at what they did. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They were not working before. Now labor has started. They've started laboring. And they did rubbish. Am I communicating to us? Okay. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife were hid, and they hid themselves from the presence of. See the second thing. Fear came. Because there's no faith now. Doubt has taken over. He said, the day you do this, you will die. You separate from me. Fear will come. Before, were they afraid? But fear has come. That's what we do. Fear has come. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Before you were excited with the scripture. You were very excited with the Bible. You were excited. Bible study will be in front. You want to study. You want to, now, you hear the voice of the Lord. You hide yourself. You start withdrawing. You have eaten the fruit of good and evil. You have. You are walking on their course. Verse 9. And the Lord called out to Adam and said unto him, where art thou? I said, I heard the voice, thy voice in the garden, and I was. How can you hear God and be afraid? Because I was naked. And I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee? Thou shalt not eat of. Adam, you've left your place of rest. You are now laboring. If you needed clothes, I would have made for you. And verse 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent. This happened to. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto the serpent, verse 15. Verse 16. Go down to verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and in thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be under thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And after Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, as eating of the tree of which I commanded thee, thou shalt not eat of it, that thou shalt not eat of it. Cost. Cost comes, not the blessing anymore. So you are walking on their cost now. Cost is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow, thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. When before you did this, these things were producing for you. Now it's thorns and thistles. Now you are going to labor. You see nothing. You're under a curse, this man. That's the curse of the law. The first curse of the law is this. That's the first curse of the law. Christians walk under it today. The Lord told me. They will not listen. The devil's got their ear. Then a whole church was deceived. An entire church, the devil hit them with this very thing that he did to Adam and Eve. The Galatian church. Let me read that to you. I will close with that. Are you getting anything? Galatian church, Galatians 3 verse 1. Oh foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? How were you bewitched? That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. You saw everything that Christ did for you. He gave you all things for life and godliness. We set it out for you. This only will I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit of by the works of the law? Is it by working yourself out you got the Spirit? Is it by what you do? or by hearing of faith? Is it not by hearing and believing and being, he has believed that entered into his rest? Is it not how you got the power of God and the Spirit of God working for you? Verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, Paul said, we that rely on what Christ has done, we are the ones that walk in the Spirit. We rely on the finish, it's finished, we had it. He said, enter into my rest, we start it. We don't depend on what we do. It's not my righteousness. It's not my goodness. It's not my prayer. It's not my being pastor. It's not my anything. I'm all those things when he moves me into them. When his arm does it. Jesus said, the Father in me dwells all this work. Praise the Lord. Come on, shout hallelujah. So verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it yet be in vain, he therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracle among you, does he do it by the works of the law, Galatians, or by hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, hey, they who have entered his rest, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be what? In thee shall all nations be what? How? If they trust like Abraham did. Verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are, I didn't hear you, are, but they which be of unbelief and doubt, they walk under the curse. A Christian can walk under a curse. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are what? Under the curse. As many. As many. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continued not in all these things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. Choose you this day where you will stand. Under the canopy of grace, living in Christ. Somebody shout hallelujah. So that the peace of God that passeth what? Will guard your heart. He giveth his beloved what? So we can serve him without fear all the days of our life. He has completed it. He dealt with your enemies, saved you from your enemies, delivered you from everything, brought the divine blessings of heaven upon you. And they asked the question, who has believed our report? So that the arm of the Lord will be what? Revealed. Can I hear amen? Amen. Doctor, come, I want to close with you. I started with you, we close with you. Now I'm going to pay your wife for using the husband. So, I want to push him. You know he's here and he's receiving. But somebody is not happy about it. And somebody says to him, stop looking unto Jesus. Things are not working so well. Walk in this path of your wisdom. Is he going away from here? Huh? So what will bring him back to where he was? It's called repentance. He turns around and says, those that trust in him shall not be put. So why am I seeing shame? I've stopped trusting in him. Comes back here. He says, Lord, You are my sufficiency. You've done everything for me. I'm going to rely on you. Your instructions, everything you tell me in the Bible, that's it. If you say you've healed me, you've healed me. If you say you don't, I'm not going to listen to that devil anymore. I'm not taking matters into my hand. Because you finish this work from the foundation of the earth. You know who will supply my 300,000. You've been preparing it for me. And I know that when it is time in your own plan for my life, you will reveal it. And the arm of the Lord will be manifested on my behalf. I cannot take over. I don't know who is preparing it. I don't know where the person is. I don't know anything. So I'm going to rest in the Lord. And your peace will guard my heart. In the midst of tumults, I'll lift up my hand and say, I know in whom I have believed. Didn't Job do that? Come on, church. Didn't Job do that? What happened to him after? Seven times. Blessing. Thank you. God bless you. I want us to rise up.